A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Next is Ezekiel 47, verse 9. Ready? Go. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Everyone over here say, everything will live.
Everything will live.
Over here say, wherever. Over there, the river goes. Everything will live wherever the river goes. Love one another as I have loved you. Okay? My question is this, before you sit down. Does everything live wherever you go? Or do you suck life out wherever you go? Are you a life giver? Or do we drain others? Or do we give life to others? You may be seated as we pray for you. Father, I pray that you would empower your sons and daughters to thrive in 2018. And God, you're teaching us how to thrive. In order for any son, any daughter of yours to thrive, God, we need a place where we belong, a community, a family where we belong. And we need to be able to not only receive, but give life in that very place where we belong. So we ask, Lord, that you would show us in what ways have we received life. Do we hold on to life without giving, without letting the river flow? God, we want to be the church. We want to be the community. We want to be sons and daughters of God, where we allow the waters from the sanctuary to flow, that as we receive, immediately we know how to give life. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, every day you wake up with life. Life. And you know, sometimes things happen. You know, your husband was supposed to pack lunch for your daughter. It was his turn. And then you find out nothing's ready and she needs to leave in 5 minutes. Just like, please. You know, Kendra was supposed to meet with me and run with me. And then she never shows up. And then it's my birthday. It's my birthday. But James didn't even say happy birthday to me or didn't even send me a text. I go to work. My to-do list is 1 through 1,000. Even if I had 10 bodies, I won't be able to finish all my to-do list. Living life, right? Every morning when we wake up, we have life. We're supposed to have life. Automatically. But then it drains us like this. And you know, often we don't even know that we live a deflated, lifeless life. And then I go, you know, hang out with my friends, and because I have no life to give, no truth to give, oh, I'm empty. I'm alone. Nobody cares. And then what do? We live a deflated life, and we, as through our deflated life, we thrive. You know, according to Jim Wilder and the Life Model Organization, you know, they've been helping people with trauma, people with addiction, and the things that they realized was for every human being to thrive, they need 5 things. Okay, let's get to that 5 things, okay? A place to belong, which Pastor Sam Huddleston, right, taught us, right, the importance of a place where we belong, okay? 2 is to receive and give life in the very place where you belong. 3, the capacity to recover from things that go wrong. So next week, if I had I will pop this and traumatize you. And then I'll say, you want to know how to recover from that? Come next week, right? I can prepare, man. Okay, so third. And then fourth is to mature as you get older. This is so important. I can't wait for this one. Too bad Benjamin has to preach that one. I would like to preach that one. Okay. And then next, to live from the heart that Jesus gave you. That even if you go through some traumatic experience, you're able to be you. You know, sometimes you're not you. Yeah. The words came out and you're like, what was that? It's because you're not thriving. Right? And in order for you to thrive, you got to go from 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay? A place to belong. Pastor, what did Pastor Sam say? Stay long enough. Yeah. You know, you go from place to place. If you don't stay long enough, you won't be able to really deal with the issues. Yeah. Right? You got to stay long enough where you belong. These five things develop when you are able to share joy and sorrows together. Not only when I got accepted to UC Berkeley, yay, Aaron! Woo! Okay, he got accepted, guys. Woo! Right? Or maybe somebody else that did not get accepted, right? When we are able to share the joys and the sorrows, these five things get developed in each person. Okay? Belonging, right? Pastor Sam talked about the importance of having a family and community where you feel belong. It's the foundation for any kind of growth to be and any kind of healing to be possible. Okay? Now, second thing we need is to give life and receive life. And I often feel like we misunderstand that when we receive, we thrive. And when we give, we're deflated. Oh, I gave so much. Oh, man, I met with Amy, you know, helped her, you know, deal with Chung. And I met with Stephanie. We think when we give life, we're deflated. But in reality, you know what happens? Give life is breathing life into others. When you give life, this is you. It's already big. I can't do it. When you give life, you thrive. You blow into the balloon. What happens? Inflated. You have life. Giving, actually. What did Jesus say? It is better to give than to receive. Why? Because you and I, we have misunderstood. Giving actually makes our balloons big. It inflates us. Yeah. But we think, oh, I'm too tired. Oh, I have to do so much. Oh, and then what do we do? There's two types of people who likes to give and not receive. Oh, Pastor Sonny, you're moving? Can I help you? Oh, I got it. It's okay. Oh, Pastor Sonny, do you need some help? I got it. Right? Oh, and so you... But then I'm always there. If Chinwei's moving, I'm scrubbing her, bathroom floors, which I did when they moved, right? I vacuum with that old 100-year-old vacuum cleaner, right? I scrubbed every counter, right? I'm there. When Joshua is feeling sad, I'm there. But then when I'm sad, I'm just... There's nobody but me, right? There's people that like to give, but don't feel comfortable receiving. And then there's people, I got nothing. Like, come on. It's like, oh, Jason, can you buy my lunch? I have no money. And next week, oh, Stephanie, can you got me? You got me? And then next, you got me, Tina? You got me, right? You got me? So what do we like to receive? And if people say no to us, we feel so forsaken. But then when anybody else need help, something always comes up and we are not able to give. All right. What did the Lord say? Love one another as I have loved you. In order for you to love well, you got to receive God's love. And when you receive God's love, you are able to love one another. If you just receive but don't give, you're not complete. But you keep giving and you never receive, you're not complete either. Unless we receive and give life in our place of belonging, okay, there will be no benefit at all to the community that we belong to, okay? You will never freely give if you don't learn to freely receive. I remember when Benjamin and I first got married, right? So Korean culture is older people pay for everything for the younger people, right? And then American culture is, you know, $9.99, that's what you order, so you owe $9.99 plus tax plus tip, right? So $12, right? Jason, you order some $12.99, they're $15, right? So the American culture is that. So Benjamin's really used to that. And then he marries this beautiful Korean girl who's older and more mature. And he's also the firstborn. I'm fourth out of five. So I've learned to receive from my family. And we go out to eat. And he doesn't know what to do when my older brother or my older sister pays for everything. And he's like anxious. Even though he received, he's anxious because he feels like, what are they going to ask me to do? One way or the other, I'm going to have to pay for that. And first, in the beginning, he didn't know how to freely receive because he didn't freely receive when he went out to eat in American culture. I don't know. That sounds kind of bad. I'm sorry. And I remember when I was in college, I'm always there. If anybody was hungry, they could come to my house. I make the best spicy ramen noodles, right, with kimchi in it and, like, you know, like red pepper, what do you call those? Flakes in it. Like, I make pretty good, right? So everybody come to my house and they eat, right? And if anybody is in need, if it's anybody's birthday, I will find every penny, every quarter I could find and give them a gift, right? But then when I needed something, I could never go to people, right? And then I remember one day, I didn't have any money to pay my rent, okay? And I don't know if it was God or if it was just me trying to be too godly. You be the judge. I remember I was at this conference, and I felt this urge to give everything I had in my bank account. And I was like, I trust you, God. I trust you. I had $330 to my name, and I gave God all of it, right? And my rent at that time, it was a dorm, so it was cheap. It was like 20-something years ago, right? And I had no rent for $330, right? I gave everything. I was like, oh, shoot. God, like, I gave it to you. I didn't give it to anyone. I didn't go shopping, right? So I didn't know what to do. And I was like, God, what do I do? What do I do? And I was praying, and I was talking to my sister. And my sister's like, Sonny, let me pay. Let me give you that $330. I have some extra money this month. And I was like, no. I'm an adult. I'm the one who decided to give. And if I have to live with the consequences, like, I have to be an adult. Don't try to give it to me. Like, I'll figure it out. And then I hung up and I'm like, what am I going to do? I should have just received. But then God, then if I receive, does that mean I don't trust you? But I do. But then how else will you give me if you don't give me? And I was just going confused, right? And then my sister calls back. And this is what she says. Sonny, why are you in Bible college? Love God and serve God? Okay. So why do you love orphans so much? Because God gave me an extra love for them. She's like, so you told me that you want to be a mother, a sister, a teacher, and a friend to every orphan that you meet. Yeah? Okay. I'm going to say this once. Sonny, if you're not willing to receive, then you have no right to give. And you know, in that moment, I had to humble myself to receive. Not because I wanted that money, but because I really wanted to give to the orphans. And if it means that I have to learn to receive freely, to be able to give freely to the orphans all over the world, then I'm willing to learn this no matter how much it hurts. If you're just receiving but not giving, you're not thriving. If you're just giving and not receiving, you're just receiving and not giving. No matter what ways, you are not thriving. You are not able to thrive as a human being. Okay? Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall, everybody say, receive. Receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses. First, you receive, and second, you give. I remember many, many years back, this person doesn't go to Living Hope anymore, so don't look around, okay? I remember this person used to say, Pastor, I'm real, and I like to be real. And I have no problem even calling you out, Pastor, because that's who I am. So if you do wrong, I tell you that you're wrong. Because I'm real like that. I have no love. I mean, I love you, but I'm not lovey-dovey. I'm just real. Right? And she speaks truth to everybody all the time. Right? And if she says, Pastor, if they don't receive that, it's because they don't know me and they don't receive me. It's because they don't know me and they don't love me and they don't receive me. That's just being, oh, lovey, oh, I love you, I forgive you. That great, that's not me. That's just not me. If you do wrong, I slap you. That's out of love. And I remember as a pastor, I have to make that person feel known and accepted for who that person is. But at the same time, I have to have wisdom to help them grow, right? So I was like, God, give me wisdom. And I remember praying with this person. And as I was praying with this person, God showed me a vision of this person being like one of the most like Mother Teresa type, like the one who would give like last breath to show love to the hurting, right? To the lost, right? And in that vision, she wasn't just speaking truth and slapping people in truth, but she was embracing them. She was feeding them. She was clothing them. She was loving them. And I remember talking to that person. I'll say Grace. Okay, it's not Grace, okay? And I remember saying, Grace, the truth is this. You don't even know who you are. You think being real is you? That's just part of you. And you know what? The body of Christ, we need that real you. But that hardness came out of your woundedness, not the core of who you are. God just showed me how loving you are. How you would give every last penny to love others. We all need a community that's able to see you for who you are and then see you. Not just you that you show people. But if you don't stay long enough, right? Just like Pastor Sam says, nobody is able to see the authentic you, right? Now, I remember on the other side, like this person I think I could name, like Mark Lagatus, for example, okay? Mark is that Filipino athlete who could jump like double his height, right, in one, like, boom, right? I wish I could do that, right? So Mark, I've been watching Mark lately, past few months. And when I see Mark, I feel like he lives out the second thing, to give life and to receive life. Mark, like, he's like, somebody's moving, he's there. Anthony Simmons had to move something, and he's there. Benjamin and I had to, remember we had to take care of that smelling in Alethea's room? He's there. He's always giving. He's there. But I also see him receiving love. I also saw him testifying about his friendship with Sal, how much he received truth and love and support from Sal, right? And thriving is you receive in community and you also give in the community. And when you receive and when you give, you are living your life to the fullest. Amen. You're living a full life. Oh, you tied it. Did you tie it? Okay, here.
It's not tied.
Oh, you guys keep like twisting it, right? That's okay. I still love you. Okay. You live a full life. You give and you receive. And people could see how beautiful you are. This is real you. And sometimes all you see is deflated you. You feel like, I have nothing to give to this church. You don't know what kind of situation I am in. I can't hear God. I don't know how to pray for other people. You feel like this is you. But when you start to receive and give from what you have, this is real you. This is real you. When I see Mark, even though he may be the shortest amongst his community group, to my eyes, Mark, you're a giant. You're a giant. You know why? You know why? Because I receive joy not only when I hang out with Mark, just watching him work, just watching him connect with other people, I just, from far, I receive life. I receive life. Like, the room, the atmosphere changes when Mark enters in. Why? Because he knows. He knows who he is. And he knows that he has enough to give to others. Always willing to help and give. But always willing to receive. That's what God is calling you and I in this season. Willing to receive and willing to give. And when we get deflated, that we come to one another and say, Willie, I'm deflated. Can you blow some life? Here, Daryl, can you blow some life? I'm deflated. Come on, blow some life. He's really doing it, guys. I love Daryl. And because of my relationship with Daryl and Chinwe, I could be inflated. I could live my life to the fullest. Mm-hmm. To the fullest. That's why when I feel life going out, I text Alicia and Chinwe, I need some girlfriend time, guys. Huh? And girlfriend time. Kendra. Like Alethea. You know what Alethea said to me this morning? It's like, Mommy, repeat after me. And she says some word that I didn't say it right. Can I teach you how to speak English, Mommy? She got it from you, Kendra. I'm willing to receive. You know, if you look Middle East, there's Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. Okay, let's show the map. Oftentimes, when you just receive, okay, you look at Sea of Galilee on top, you see the river, it recedes from the river above, but it also gives to the river below. And Sea of Galilee, there's a lot of fish that live there. This was the sea where Jesus found his fishers of men. This is the same area where Jesus told them to cast your net to the other side, and they caught more than they could bring up, right? Sea of Galilee. Water flows through Sea of Galilee. They receive, but they also give. But if you look at the Dead Sea receives from the river above, but but nothing goes out. The Dead Sea is a water, a lake, a sea where you receive, but you don't give. And you know, Dead Sea, nothing could live in the Dead Sea. Why? Because the water is not flowing. Oftentimes, you and I, we have to remember, if you're feeling deflated and you're thinking, honey, is there anybody out there? Nobody cares about me. Somebody speak life to me. No, if you feel deflated, you know, the answer isn't somebody breathe life into me. Some Rebecca, take me out or something. No, the answer of your deflation is you give life. Man, how'd you guys do this? This is hard, right? When you give life, right? Man, you deserve more candies. 8 of you, come back. I'll give you more. Man, that was... Right? Okay. God is calling us to be the water that flows, that receives, and that gives. If you're feeling deflated, maybe you've been living as the Dead Sea instead of the Sea of Galilee. We're going to end with two scriptures. Psalm 1:3. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Number one, are you planted? Are you planted? Belonging. Number two, are you bearing fruit every season? Are you thriving? Thriving has nothing to do with luck. Thriving has everything to do with your intentionality of giving life and receiving life. Ezekiel 47:12, along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month. Everybody say every month. Because their water flows. Everybody say, water flows. From the sanctuary, their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Are you flowing? Are you receiving and giving? Do you bear fruit every month? Does your water flow? Does it flow from the sanctuary? When I look at from the Bible, one person that really thrived is David. He thrived as a shepherd, as a boy, when nobody saw him. He was able to guard his sheep from lions and bears. He thrived when he entered into the army, right? Remember? Saul killed thousands, but David? 10,000. He thrived. Even when he was in the wilderness, because Saul wanted to kill him. Even in the wilderness, when he was running for his life, he might say, in the wilderness, I was deflated. I had no life. But did you know when David was running for his life in the wilderness, 400 men went to wilderness and joined David and says, we will fight for you. We will fight with you, David and his valiant men. David and even Jonathan, right? The covenant relationships. Even when David became a king, he was one of the greatest king. David knew how to thrive no matter what situation. Thriving doesn't mean what we think it is. You could thrive in the wilderness. You could still thrive in between jobs. You could still thrive waiting for your husband. You can still thrive even though you want a child and you're not able to bear. It's not about seasons, you hear me? Thriving has nothing to do with what kind of seasons. Oh, I got promoted, I'm thriving. Oh, I lost my job, I'm deflated. No. Thriving is about being the water that flows, that receives the truth from God, and that gives truth to the others. That when I felt deflated and I went to God and God says, Sonny, I am with you. I am for you. Then I go right back. And when I see Jason and he's deflated. What I received from God, I could give it to him. Jason, he sees you. He loves you. He's for you. And Jason then receives that truth and goes to Kendra when she's deflated. Kendra, God sees you. He's for you. The only time David wasn't able to thrive is at the end, towards the end, when he was the king. And when king were supposed to go fight, he just received, but he stayed. That's when he fell into sin. But David knew how to allow the water to flow even when he fell into sin. He was able to go to the sanctuary. He was able to go to God, receive forgiveness. And he was able to allow the water of the Holy Spirit to flow through his life. I want you to stand in his presence. And I want you to think, God, am I thriving? You know, beginning of this year, God gave me a word. He said, your word for 2018 is thrive. And he showed me how in 2017, I barely survived. Nothing bad happened, but I was barely surviving. Nobody came against me, but I felt alone. Nobody said anything to me, but I felt like a failure. And in my mind, in my heart, inwardly, I barely survived. But God says, 2018, you will thrive. But you know, from the beginning of 2018, things happen. With the churches that we cover, they're going through crazy things that we have to constantly release and give. There's so many things that have happened that I can't even tell you. Like just this week, my father had a stroke and he can't come home. And my mother, she doesn't know what to do because the home that she has to put him in costs more than what they both receive. All these, it's like one after the other, so many situations are happening. But you know what? I feel so inflated. I feel life. When things came against us, and I don't feel like I'm just surviving. Maybe it's all the weddings that's happening. I don't know. Just excited. But God kept his word that no matter what, you're going to thrive. And God is saying to you and I today, I don't care what seasons you're going through. Wilderness, mountaintop, you're going to thrive where you're at. You're going to thrive in your relationships. You're going to thrive in your career. You're going to thrive in your ministry. In order for you to thrive is that you are intentional about receiving life and giving life. Relationally, outside of ministry, and also in the house. That when people join our church, we say, for a few months, you just come and receive. But after a few months, we should take turns doing the dishes, guys. Not one person should take all the garbage out every Sunday. Not one person should set up and break down. As a family, if this is a place where you belong, yeah. If you're new, hey, receive. As long, maybe up to a year, maybe. My prayer is this, that you're not afraid of being deflated. I don't know if I could commit to that because I'm afraid it's going to be too much. And I know, I understand, because oftentimes I feel that in areas. But in those moments, I have to remind myself, when I need life, it's not doing nothing. When I need life, I need to give life. And when I give life, I receive life. So I want you to pray right now with every eyes closed between you and God. Father, in what way have I not allowed your water to flow through my life? Maybe out of fear. Maybe out of anxiety. Maybe out of busyness. I don't know. Maybe low self-esteem. I don't know. What kept me from allowing the water that you've given into my life from flowing, God? Maybe some of you, I've been just waiting for the right time. Guess what? This is the right time. This is the right season for you to start flow. Let the river flow. Wherever the river goes, everything will live. Maybe when you look around, you don't see life and you're waiting for God to bring life. But God is saying, you want life? You want life in your situations, in your hearts, in your family, in your relationship? Then you must give life as you receive life. So Father, today I pray that you would speak to every one of my brothers and sisters personally, that they would hear your voice saying whatever you desire in their hearts, however you desire for their water to flow. Right now, Father, I pray that you would even release angels to remove obstacles. Maybe there's some rocks along their path that keeps that water from flowing. Maybe it's a certain way of thinking. Maybe it's depression. God, I pray right now that you remove every obstacle, God, that keeps your water to flow in and through your sons and daughters. Father, I pray that you would allow, God, Living Hope to become a river that flows from your sanctuary. And wherever the river goes, everything will live. When we go to Philippines, God, we're going to give life, Lord. When we go to work tomorrow morning, we're going to give life, God. When we see our families tonight, we're going to give life. We're not going to suck life out of anxiety or fear, but we're going to speak life. We're going to speak life. God, when we feel deflated, will you help us to remember the balloon, the purple pink balloons, that it's time for me to give life. It's time for me to speak life. Now listen, every one of you, listen to God. How is God calling you to be the water that flows? Listen to him. Let him tell you. And once you hear, I want you to share with somebody in this church. Because if you don't tell anybody, we won't know, right? God, I thank you that this year, as we rest, as we learn to rest in you, you're calling us to thrive. It's not the striving that's going to make us thrive. It's actually resting in your truth that's going to empower us to thrive, to give life, and to receive life. Let your water flow in and through my life. I pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.